Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How in the world are you supposed to follow that? I have no idea. Good to see you, my brother. Well, good grief. I was sitting there on that pew, and that camera's getting real close up on him. I said, Lord, help these people. They got to look at me for the next few minutes on that big screen. My heart goes out to you. I'm praying for you. You got to look at me on that big screen. But I'm humbled. I'm privileged to be here. Pastor, thank you for letting me come. And I feel like a paper airplane just pulled into a taxi at RDU Airport preaching in front of Joe Arthur. And I tell you what, he's one of my heroes. And I mean that. I don't say that lightly. I thank God for him, his influence in my life. And I'm sure excited about what the Lord's going to do tonight. Well, if you're glad you're saved, say amen.
Amen.
If you're glad you're in church, say amen.
Amen.
There's a lot of folk up in this building tonight. And that humbles me, preacher. Thank you for letting me come. Well, if you're glad you're saved, say amen one more time.
Amen.
Grab your Bible if you got it tonight. Turn with me to the book of John. Book of John, chapter number 6. And I don't know if you do this, but I like to do it. When you find your place in John chapter 6, would you stand to your feet for the reading of God's Word? I believe we ought to have respect for our Bible. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction, and for correction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And I'm thankful I hold in my hand the Word of God tonight in my King James Bible. John chapter number 6, we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says this: After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. And likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets, which the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that the prophet that should come into the world. Verse number 15 will be the last verse we read tonight, then we'll pray. The Bible says, When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king. Glory to God, I felt the Lord on that. I'm going to read it again. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Heavenly Father, God, I pray you'd help us tonight. God, I'm humbled by this opportunity, and Lord, I'm reminded of what you said in your word. God, it's not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And God, I do pray tonight, Holy Ghost, that you'd search me to the uttermost parts of my heart, and if there's anything in me that's not like Christ, that you'd crucify it, that you'd cleanse me of it. Lord, fill me up from the top of my head, God, to the bottom of my feet. God, I realize I cannot help these people on my own. God, I cannot preach in my own power and my own ability. God, I'm most miserable without you. But Father, I pray, God, for the next little while, that God, you touch your servant. God, you touch me. God, help me preach, Father. God, help me preach what thus saith the Lord. God, I know the thoughts you put on my heart, and God, I pray, Lord, you'd use it now, God, to do what only you can do through the preaching. God, you chose the foolishness of preaching. So, Father, I pray that you do with preaching, God, what nothing else can do. Lord, we'll be careful to give you the glory, honor, and praise, because, God, you're the only one that's worthy of it. God, we love you tonight, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated tonight. As we've just read in John chapter number 6, if you've been in church any length of time, you've been reading your Bible any length of time, you know exactly where we are. We're at this miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And preacher, you don't, Brother Joe, you don't know this, but I've been praying all day that God would give me clarity. And we was at Parker's Barbecue, and you got to talking about the 12 baskets that was left over. And I said, Lord, if that's what you want me to preach, I'll preach it. And we know this story. You've been in church. You've been reading your Bible. You know exactly where we are. We're at the very familiar passage of Scripture on the feeding of the 5,000. This miracle is recorded in all four Gospels. It's matter of fact, it's the only miracle that Jesus Christ performed outside of Him getting up out of the grave that is recorded in all four Gospels. So I want you to realize something, that there was something that took place here in John chapter number 6 that these disciples had never seen before. You see, these disciples had seen Jesus perform miracles on the disease. We read that in our Bible. We read that in our text tonight. But there was something so shaking to these disciples, to these gospel writers, what happened on the feeding of the 5,000. By way of introduction, I want us to look at this quickly tonight. The reality of this miracle. The reality of this miracle. You see, we all know this as the story of the feeding of the 5,000. But a lot of Bible scholars would say that it wasn't just 5,000 men there. They probably had wives. They probably had children. So we'll just do a little bit of math real quick. We'll take 5,000 men with one wife apiece. We're at 10,000. And if you've been to Israel, you know this ain't true, but we'll just say that they had one child apiece. There we are at 15,000 people, and now the Lord is going to break this bread, and He's going to break this fish and feed these multitudes of people. In this reality, there were four solutions that were offered. You'll find the first solution was offered by all the disciples, and they said, "Well, Lord, we don't have anything. We can't work anything up. We don't have enough food. We don't have enough money to feed all these people. So let's just send them away and let them go back to where they came from." But the Lord, as He was looking out for me, was looking out for this multitude. And He said, "Well, if I were to send them back, they'd faint on their way home. So we can't do that." Solution number two was offered by a man by the name of Philip. When the Lord asked Philip and said, "Well, if we had 200 penny worth, what could we accomplish with this?" And Philip said, "Well, Lord, I couldn't feed this whole multitude. I couldn't even give them all a little. If we only had 200 penny worth of wages, you know, 200 penny worth would have been 200 days work of wage." And me, when I read this, I was a very literal thinker. You see, they didn't have great value Walmart trucks to bus food in. They didn't have refrigerator trucks to bus fish in. They couldn't bus barley loaves in. There was no way in the world that they could work this up with food or with money. Solution number three was offered by a man by the name of Andrew, and he brought this little lad to the Lord. And I just want to say this, because this is good preaching tonight, and if you don't help me, I'll come preach in your lap. Somebody say amen. But I'm thankful tonight that this was not the first time that Andrew had brought somebody to the Lord. If you'll remember, just a few chapters ago, Andrew brought a man by the name of Simon to the Lord, and Jesus worked in the life of Simon Peter, and this was not the first time. And if there's anything we can learn from Andrew, if you've got somebody that's got a problem in their life, they've got a need that needs to be met, you just take them to wherever Jesus is, whether it be at the house of God, whether it be at your house, but wherever Jesus is, you just take them tonight. That was solution number three. But solution number four, how many of you know that the Lord's solution is always the best solution? You see, the lad brought it, the Lord blessed it, and then the Lord broke it. I'm thankful to report to you tonight that little is much when God is in it. Hey, can I say tonight, now unto Him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think, and we serve a big God tonight, that when you take a little to the Lord and you give Him all you've got, He can work miracles out of it tonight. We see the reality of this miracle, but number two, we see the rarity of this miracle. I was studying and praying over this, and the Lord kind of revealed something to me. Of all these people that would have been at this miracle, there's no way in the world that only one person had food. There's no way in the world that only one person had food to give. You see, when I was growing up and I'd go to school, my mama never let me leave without having food, if you can't tell. This boy right here likes food. Somebody say amen. I've been on a diet for about 45 minutes. I'm hungry. But you see, there's no way in the world that only one person would have had food. But the rarity was only one person was willing to give, not some of what they had, but was willing to give all that they had. You see, Isaiah 55, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways." But I'm thankful to report to you tonight that when nobody thinks anything's going on, the Lord is always up to something. We see the reality of this miracle. We see the rarity of this miracle. And then the last thing by way of introduction, I want to talk about the rendering of this miracle. You see, that word render means to yield or to sacrifice something. You see, this would have never been possible. This miracle would have never taken place had that little lad not said, "Lord, what is mine is yours." And like I said, I'm a very literal thinker, but I got to thinking about that, and Andrew brought him, and I got to thinking, and I said, I'm wondering this. I wonder if that little lad was just walking, just carrying his lunch. He's probably about to sit down somewhere and eat his lunch. And this man he'd never met before, but he had heard, he'd seen him in that inner circle with Christ, and Andrew comes by and says, "Hey, son, what are you doing with that lunch?" He says, "Well, I was about to eat it. I was about to eat lunch. I'm getting kind of hungry." And Andrew would have said, "Well, would you just be willing to let us borrow that? Would you just be willing to render that for the next few minutes?" And that little lad would say, "Well, I guess so. You know, my mama packed me this, and if she finds out I came all this way and didn't eat, she's probably going to be mad at me. But I guess so." So I can see Andrew leading that little boy over to where Jesus was. And on the way, I can see Andrew saying a little something like this: "Well, son, I tell you what, you ain't going to take this for granted, because I've seen that man I'm taking you to touch blinded eyes and they start seeing. I've seen him touch deaf ears and they start hearing. I've seen him touch dumb mouths and they start talking. I've seen him touch lame legs and they start walking." And I believe Andrew would have said a little something like this: "And I believe that if he can do something like that for them, he can do something with that little lunch." You see, this would not have been possible had that little lad not said, "Yes, I give my all." He rendered everything that he had. J. Vernon McGee said this: "The mathematics of a miracle are anything plus Jesus equals a miracle." Y'all get that in the back? Anything plus Jesus equals a miracle. You've got somebody in your family that don't know Jesus Christ. You just give them Jesus and watch what Jesus will do. He'll turn a miracle out of their life. You've got a prodigal out in the far country tonight. You just keep giving them Jesus. You just keep giving their name to Jesus. Every morning you get on your knees and say, "Jesus, so-and-so's out in the far country, and I'm going to go ahead by faith and give them over to you." And you watch Jesus work a miracle. I'm thankful tonight that we serve a God that is still a miracle worker. Hallelujah. "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." I'm thankful we serve a God tonight that can take what little bit we have and work a miracle out of it. And none of this would have ever been possible had this little lad not rendered his lunch unto the Lord. I want to preach to you tonight on this thought for just the next few minutes. Jesus wants your lunch. Jesus wants your lunch. Preacher, what in the world are you talking about? I didn't bring a lunch box with me. If you would have, I'd pray you'd shout and say amen so I can come eat a sandwich right quick. But I'm not talking about that physical food. You see, we can give Jesus our lunch in salvation. That lunch is a picture of giving your all to the Lord. You see, when I got saved, I didn't hold anything back. I said, "Lord, I know I'm on my way to a devil's hell. I know there's no way I can get out. And God, if you'll take me like I am, I'll give you my all." Jesus wants your lunch and salvation tonight. But Jesus also wants your salvation in service tonight. You see, not everybody's called to preach. Not everybody's called to do what I'm doing. 5 years ago, I would have never dreamed that I'd be right here doing what I'm doing right now. But God, whatever it may be in your life, whatever that lunch that may be in your life, Jesus wants it, and he wants it all. We've got so many Christians in the day in which we live that are willing to give God just a Sunday morning and a Sunday night and a Tuesday night at Jubilee, but Jesus does not just want the bare minimum. He wants your all tonight. Jesus wants your lunch. It would have never been possible had this little lad not been obedient to what God commanded of him. You see, I want to talk about these things tonight. Three things of obedience, then I'll be done. Number one, I want us to look at this. The price of obedience. The price of obedience. This little lad, he decided to obey the Lord. What did it cost him? Cost him his lunch. I'm not a prosperity preacher by any means, but I've never had any regrets giving my all to God. When I surrendered to preach, I was 190 pounds. Now I'm 200 none your business pounds. Somebody say amen. I ain't missed a meal. I ain't gone hungry. I've never regretted selling out to God. But it did cost me something. There is a price of being obedient. You're going to miss out on all the things that the world does. You're going to miss out on all the joy that the world says they have. There is a price of obedience. But I came by your way to tell you tonight that there is a price worth paying. There's a price of obedience. That little lad was not willing to give one barley loaf and one fish. He was willing to give everything that he had. That was a price that little lad had to pay. And Brother Joe, I was studying on this, and the verse that the Lord put on my heart was, it's in 1 Samuel. And the writer said, I'm paraphrasing, but he said, to obey is better than sacrifice. I got to thinking about, is it okay if I come down here? I got to thinking about that, and the Lord convicted me so hard on that, my brother. He said, obedience is better than sacrifice. And you know, so many times in the Christian walk and in the Christian life, we get so wrapped up with what other people give. There's a lot of people in this room that could cut a check 10 times greater than anything I could ever cut. We get so focused on what other people give. But that's not what the writer was saying in that verse. God was saying that he is not worried with what you give, but he's worried with how you give it. You see, to a lot of people, $5 may be just as much to somebody as $5,000. But God is not worried with how much you give. He's worried with how you give it. That little lad, I was praying about this, and the Lord put this on my heart, and it sure encourages me. But you know, the little lad that gave his lunch meant just as much to Jesus as the women that broke the alabaster box on his feet. The Lord does not, he's not worried with what or how much it costs, but he's worried with how you give it. And I'm thankful tonight that my Bible says that the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. And if you'll just take all you've got and you'll be willing to give it to God and you'll be willing to pay that price of obedience, watch God turn miracles out of what little you give to God. Not only is there a price of obedience tonight, I'm preaching quick because I want to get out the way. There's a price of obedience, but I want us to look at this, the practice of obedience. The practice of obedience. It's one thing to know what to do, am I right? But it's another to do what you know what to do. This miracle would have never been found in the Word of God had the little lad only known what to do. But the reason that we read about this miracle in the Word of God is simply because the little lad practiced that price of obedience. He took what he heard. He took what Andrea told him. He took what he believed and he practiced it. My Bible says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And I came by to tell you tonight, you say, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? If you'll just get to doing this, you'll just get to staying in this book and practicing what God commands us, watch God work miracles in your life. We've got to practice this thing of obedience. I was thinking about it, and I always love illustrations, and my favorite illustrations are Bible illustrations. You remember over in the Old Testament, there was a man by the name of Noah. And God came to Noah and said, Noah, I'm going to flood the earth. And Noah was like, Lord, what are you talking about? It ain't never even rained before. God commanded Noah to build a big old ark. By the way, 120 years, Noah built an ark and preached. That cost him a lot. Cost him his time. Probably cost him some wealth. Cost him some fortune, and not one person outside of his family got into the ark. But Noah was willing to practice this thing of obedience. I was thinking about Noah, and then I got to thinking over there about Moses, and you know the story where Moses was in the wilderness and he was out in the desert or wherever you want to say he was, and God comes speaking to him in a fiery bush and tells Moses to go before Pharaoh and demand to let his people go. Now, I'm no spiritual giant if you can't tell, but if that thing caught on fire and God told me to go before Joe Biden and say, let my people go, I'd say, Lord, you got the wrong one. I don't think I'm qualified to do that. But that would end up costing Moses his life. It cost him a lot of years. It cost him a lot of stress. You see, there's a price of obedience, but then there's got to be a practice of obedience. I believe the greatest illustration of obedience in all the Word of God is found in a man by the name of Jesus Christ. Matthew 26, verse 39, and he went a little further and fell on his, glory to God, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done. Hey, can I say tonight that the best picture of obedience in all the Word of God is a man by the name of Jesus Christ, when he knelt down and he began to pray to his heavenly Father, and he began to pray to his Father, he realized, he looked into that bitter cup and he saw my sin and he saw your sin and he saw my punishment and he saw your punishment and he saw my guilt and he saw, glory to God, and he saw your guilt, and he said, Father, not as my will but thy will be done. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ saw? He saw the price of obedience, but then he practice that price of obedience tonight. I'm thankful that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ practiced obedience. And aren't we not commanded to be like Christ? If Christ practiced obedience, then so should we. You see, one of my heroes, Brother Daniel Buchanan, he said this to me. He said, if God wants to bless somebody else through you, God will get the blessing to you. I'm going to say that again. If God wants to bless someone through you, God will get the blessing to you. What in the world are you talking about? This is what I mean. I've been in so many instances, Pastor Joe, where God will nudge me to give somebody 10 bucks. I'm like, Lord, I'm in Bible college. I ain't exactly got enough money to be throwing around to everybody. What in the world are you talking about? And the Lord will say, son, I told you to give it to him. And I'll say, okay, God. Matter of fact, this happened with me. Remember, I told you that night I got to drive Brother Joe a few months back, and we drove him to Tennessee. We were sitting in a service. And the Lord said, you need to give that $20 bill that's in your pocket to that young boy that's sitting over there. I was like, Lord, I guess so. If you say so, I'll do it. I go over there and I hand that young boy that $20. And Brother Joe, before I got out the parking lot, the pastor came up to me and said, Joe, you're going to need a snack on the way home, ain't you? I said, well, if the man of God wants to stop. He said, here, brother, you'll never believe what he handed me. $20. He handed me a $20 bill. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say this. There's a lot of times being obedient is going to cost you something. And if we're not willing to pay that price, God will never be able to bless us back on this other side. I said there's a price of obedience, there's a practice of obedience. Then lastly, and I'm done tonight, not only is there a price, a practice, but there's a product of obedience. There's a product of obedience. Go with me to your Bible real quick. Read with me verse number 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king. A lot of people always read over that verse. But I believe the whole meaning behind this miracle is that found in verse number 15. Read with me again. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force. Read the next five words with me. To make him a king. In this Christian walk, our sole duty, our sole purpose is never to bring glory to ourselves. It's never to bring glory to a man. It's never to bring glory to a place, but it's always to bring glory to God. You see, because, I'm about to preach right here, because this little lad was willing to pay that price and was willing to practice that obedience, the product was that so many people got to crown Jesus Christ as King. And I came to tell you tonight that if you don't practice this thing of obedience, you know the price, but you don't practice it, there's somebody down the road that won't get to eat lunch. There's somebody that will never crown Jesus King in their life. We talked about Noah. We know Noah practiced that thing of obedience and his family and his house was saved. And that's the first ministry of every one of us in this building tonight is our family. We talked about Moses and how Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. And eventually they'd cross over into Canaan land. But I want to say glory to God tonight. The last one we talked about was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he saw that cup, like I said. He saw that price. But I'm thankful he practiced it. And the product of Jesus Christ's obedience is standing before you tonight preaching. I'm thankful tonight that the product of the Lord's obedience is me and it's you. If you're saved by the grace of God tonight, you say, preacher, being obedient doesn't really mean that much to me. It should, because if you're saved, it's because Jesus paid that price and practiced obedience. There's a product in this obedience. The greatest product of our obedience is that God would get glory out of it. Hebrews 11, verse number 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. A lot of times we get wrapped up on those crowns that we're going to get to heaven. And don't get me wrong, I want to have a bulldozer push my crowns up to Jesus' feet just to say thank you for what you did for me. But you know, preacher, I know what the reward is. The reward is Jesus. I'm going to say that again. The reward is Jesus. What more could you ask for? To know that you know that you know that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, that one day hell moved out and heaven moved in, one day death moved out and life moved in. Can I say tonight that there's a price of obedience? We've got to practice it, and there will be a product of obedience tonight. Who is it that you know? Who is it in your family that won't be able to eat lunch if you're not willing to give God all you've got? Who is it that will never be able to taste or drink of that living water if you don't make up in your mind tonight, God, I may not have much, but I give you my all. There's a lot of young people in here. I know that because my church brought some. The best decision you'll ever make is to say, God, here's my lunch. I give it all to you. God, take and do with it what only you can do. And I'm thankful tonight that the product will be far exceedingly greater than we could ever ask or think.